Blog Talk Radio.
Must meet. Which one are you? Which one is me? Friends, fans, and artists must meet. Which one are you? Which one are me? Say that.
Fans.
God, please, oh please, let her breathe my way. If she sing my song today, I can be okay. Say, I understand the message in the song she write. I was really happy for her when she won tonight. She a rebel for the struggle, fighting just like me. I know she down to sing at the cookout, free. I was kind of disappointed with the song she wrote. Went to a website, wrote a long-ass note. She done made $1 million, but she down to earth. She be rocking Chuck Taylors in a thrift store purse. Signing autographs to the park was dark. I know it's kind of hard when they love your art. In the magazine, they be twisting up the facts. But her response was fat. I like how she come back. She be singing for the world, sharing all the pain. When she fell up in the game, she changed. Fans, friends, and artists must meet. Which one of you? Which one of me?
Friends.
Folk in the face like she ain't the same. Still the same bitch, she just changed her name. She don't really like to hang around with us no more. Wasn't nothing like that back in 94. She be falling in the spot with a fat ass grin. Now she roll a bin, she don't need no friend. She only really made it cause her skin is light. Don't nobody really understand that shit she write. She done made $1 million, she can give us some. She be having fun, shit, we wanna have fun. Seen her early in the morning looking bad as hell. Gonna be looking really funny when the shit don't sell. Airport, about to miss a flight. Four carry-ons talking about pack life. Oh, please, get a queen of tea. Only come to the show cause I get in free. Friends, fans, and artists must meet. Which one are you? Which one are me? Fans, friends, and artists must meet. Which one are you? Folk in my face, I'm a superstar. Niggas hang around cause of who I are. Get a lot of love cause of what I got. Say they happy for me, but they really not. Sell a lot of records and I roll a Benz. Fall up in the spot, now I'm losing friends. All I wanna do is give the world my heart. Record label try to make me compromise my art. Make $1 million, make $1 million more. Tax time, come around, steal a nigga post. I wanna say wait, but I'm scared to ask. My world starts spinning and it's moving fast. Try to stay sane, it's the price of fame. Spending my life trying to numb the pain. I shake that load off and sing my song. Liberate the minds, then I go on home.
Professor Griff, one of the great granddaddies, one of the icons, one of the founders of rap and what is hip-hop. I mean, you can't really think of anybody out there except a couple other guys who are up there at the top of the mountain. He's an internationally renowned educator, writer, producer, musician, platinum recording, spoken word artist, lecturer, and founding member of the pioneering and revolutionary hip-hop group Public Enemy, author of the popular music business guide. I'm not going to go over his whole bio. Everybody knows who Professor Griff is, or they've been hide under a rock, or if they don't, they'll recognize his voice. But the point is his website. We're also going to be giving that out for everybody. It's pgriff.info. We're going to have that up on screen for everybody as well, just the letter pgriff.info. And they're on tour right now. They're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. And I've been following Professor Griff since I was about 11 years old. I grew up in Dallas, and was on the football team. A lot of my friends introduced me to the first rap that was coming out. I really loved it, along with rock and roll and everything else out there. But I really loved Public Enemy and just the sound. And so then over the years, I kind of followed along with what Professor Griff was really saying, and then would see how the media would spin and distort, and also some of the government stuff he's gone through. But he can get into that if he wants to. We'll get into the Illuminati and hip-hop, which is just constantly thrown in our face, but also in rock and roll. So many hip-hop and rock and roll folks have now gone public and said they're told to do that by the business. I've talked to former high-level people from MTV and major rock stars who were in the meetings when they said, we're going to stop pushing all this grassroots rock and hip-hop, rap. We're going to go with gangster, kill 'em, all this garbage. So that was on purpose. So we're going to get into all that with him. We're going to talk about so much more here today with Professor Griff on the broadcast with us. I've got a lot of questions. He's got a lot of points he wants to make. We were just talking during the break. Professor Griff, first, it was great to hear your voice over the line, and it's great to have you here with us today.
Oh, give thanks. Likewise. I just want to let you know that I've been an info warrior for a minute, unbeknownst to a lot of people. I was an info warrior when it wasn't even popular to be one in the hood. For real.
Wow.
Especially in rap and hip-hop, because there's not too many people like myself that were disseminating information. And as Malcolm X said, by any means necessary, but we say by any, all, and every means necessary.
Well, you were an info warrior before I was an info warrior.
Well, I was there on the scene disseminating information however I could get it. It's just that I didn't have access to a lot of information I had to get up wherever I could pick it up from.
Well, I've been fascinated in my off time listening to a lot of underground interviews you do, and also some big ones, just laying, down a lot of deep knowledge. Let's give you the floor here. First off, you want to get into getting the info out. Let's talk about it.
Well, disseminating the information, I think, is a three-step process. First of all, you have to be awake and aware to even want to seek the information out. Then there comes the time where you don't have to, quote-unquote, believe it. I don't get into the whole concept of belief and then faith. And I know some of the religious people that are listening, please go look those two words up, and then you can call Professor Griff directly and we can talk. But you have to have some courage to disseminate the information. There's a certain degree of courageousness you have to have in order to disseminate the information, not only in this small group of people that surround us that are ready to listen to it, but take it out to the 85% of the masses of the people that really are not checking for it, so to speak. So we have to be able to put it in a language that the people understand. And when Public Enemy first came out, coming out of Long Island, New York, people were not checking for a small rap group speaking truth to power, talking about the government, talking about local and global issues. It was a very, very difficult thing. So the threats came from within the black community, but the threats came from some ignorant white folks. Some threats came from abroad, especially when we went internationally. We started making the connection because, as you know, Alex, that the news that we get from America is not the same news you get from abroad.
No, it's from all different angles. So you start really seeing the propaganda when you see the foreign news.
Exactly. So then you start to tie the two together. Then when you start meeting people from different cultures, you start to get a well-rounded view on what this thing is actually about. And I've seen it at a young age. And by the time the Public Enemy thing happened and we went abroad, the shocking thing that shocked me, as you just admitted, that you've been following this thing since 11, 12 years old, but now we're seeing older white men bringing their sons and their grandchildren to the concerts. and it's a beautiful thing. And as I told you during the break, the Public Enemy, it's never been about a white and black thing. It's always been about the human family.
Well, I want to expand more on that, but at its core, what is the New World Order? What is the Illuminati? What is its endgame? Because it's carrying out, as you know, eugenics operations against everybody, but the apple of its eye is Africa, and that's where in some countries, they've carried out bioweapons attacks and killed more than half the people. And so many, quote, liberal yuppies are like, well, there are too many people. Well, wait a minute. I thought you're this big liberal. I mean, you're really going to sign on, just make a joke about and tacitly admit that you know this stuff's going on, but something we're just going to keep in the back of the room? I mean, huge things are going on is my point. What is at the heart from your research, all the books you've written, the videos, everything you've got on your site? What is at the core of this, the end game?
I think the end game, once again, is it's three or four different things, but I think the end game simply is population control. And if we can control the population by controlling certain individuals and certain aspects on what goes on a global scale, then I think they will become successful. But I truly believe in my heart of hearts that they will not be successful at all. We have set them back several times for them to go back to the drawing board. So the end game would be population control. The end game with controlling the population would be mind control. The end game would be, even if we're existing on the planet, that's all we're doing is existing. We're useless evils to them. We're units, as they wrote about us in Rex 84, the King Alpha Plan. We're useless. We're useless eaters. We're sheeple. We're just here, almost like zombies. And they actually have a drug on the street now. I don't know if you've heard of the Molly. It's definitely happening in the black community, where you see these guys. It's almost like you're meeting them. You're seeing them. It's like the lights are on, but no one's home.
That's what they want.
This gaze and this glaze over their eyes, and you really can't even reach them. With designer drugs like this on the street, it buys into the whole idea of the end game. These mind-controlled kind of Manchurian candidates, so to speak, kind of zombies that are operating out here.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that trance. I came across videos that I'd seen at the time when they were first leaked 15 years ago or so of Clinton when makeup's being put on him or during interviews. And I've talked to people that knew Clinton, had him on the show, you know, had on girlfriends, old friends, people attacked by him, that Clinton would, like, go into these baby-like trances whenever he'd get on the telephone and get orders. And that sounds crazy to people that haven't actually watched it. But later, I'm going to show TV viewers, we'll post it on InfoWars, a couple clips of Clinton during satellite feeds when he wasn't live, shifting into something. It's not a joke. He's clearly in like a three-year-old mind control trance.
Exactly. And now it's not only with the Bill Clintons of the world. These are actual average everyday citizens, black, white, and everyone in between, and they're doing it via frequencies, via the music,
that's right,
via the food, via the drugs, via these frequencies, these low frequencies.
They admit that televisions and thousands of studies, well, literally thousands, as you know, but for listeners, he's not joking here, is rewiring kids' brains, making them highly suggestible, and most people are now in a sleep state, a waking, what's the proper term, sleepwalking state.
Right. We did a song called Night of the Living Deads.
Yes.
And this was when crack cocaine had hit, and it was our answer to it. And there's functional zombies, functional crackheads. You know, they're under this. And a lot of times they don't even know it. And when you make them aware of these particular things, then they call you crazy.
It's amazing. I've done a test where you actually give people commands on the street. And if you do it confidently, they'll start obeying like robots, even police. And it's really freaking me out because what you're saying is true. The public more and more is going into deeper and deeper levels of a trance. How do we break them out of that?
I think what we need to do is make people awake and aware that we have to put living food in a living body. This is the only way. We have to put living information. When I say food, I mean on a spiritual level, intellectual level, mental level, and a physical level. So when I say food, I just don't mean physical food. But you have to put food, living food, in a living body. There's no other way to keep the human being alive. We have to feed the human being living food. If this information that you and I and all of the info warriors that are out there are trying to disseminate to the people is not viable and alive, we cannot possibly continue this particular work simply because it's dead information. It's dead information. So today, 2013, if we're having a conversation on the Alex Jones show and we regurgitate and do the Obama Deception remix, it has to be viable to today. What's going on with Eric Holder? What's going on with drones? Do we need to talk about this today? I mean, what does that have to do with the music and the masses of the people?
I want to get into that. Let's talk about your book, and we'll put it on screen, dealing with the CIA covert war, the psychological covert war on hip-hop, and how they've branded it and how they've taken it over and turned it into the culture-killing thing that it is today. Again, the Minister of Information for Public Enemy being inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. Professor Griff is our guest, and the website is pgriff.info. Please continue.
Well, you didn't. There wasn't a Freudian slip. You said it right. It's the CIA's covert war. Back in 1976, I don't know if you're familiar with a young lady. Her name is Mae Brussels.
Yes.
Well, in her Operation Chaos, as she called it, from the Monterey Pop to the different festivals that went on during the 60s, she said that there was a CIA war against the 60s counterculture. And after reading that document, it said something off in my mind, and I'm thinking, well, that's the same thing that's going on now. Mae Brussels said this back then. So when I started putting together the psychological covert war on hip-hop, I had to go back and revamp the book, and I had to talk about the Illuminati's takeover of hip-hop. Now, some people thought I was crazy, but when I looked inside of hip-hop and I started seeing some of the information that you talk about on your show, some of the information that Jordan Maxwell and Michael Tesserian and David Icke and some other people talk about, I'm like, wow, I'm seeing those things in hip-hop. So I wonder if I can make the connection. So when I did make the connection, once again, it took a lot out of me to present it to relatively a group of people that was just close to it. So I had to become symbol literate. And when I started explaining what was going on, it landed me in some trouble on some things that I don't care to speak about right now because of a lawsuit, but I can just kind of hint around it. Right now, they're attacking me, simply because I'm pointing out the effeminization of the African male inside of hip-hop. And because of that, we have some high, some people that are on high, so to speak. They're probably high, but they're on high, so to speak, that want to shut Professor Griff down, but they're doing it by trying to attack Public Enemy as a whole. And I don't want to threaten the brother's chances of getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They just asked me to handle this kind of conversation, kind of like with kid gloves. I said, I don't mind, because this is not about Professor Griff. It's no big I and little you. This thing is a lot larger than Professor Griff. But I can say this. If we're walking around today and you're walking through the malls and you're seeing young people and the effeminization is going on, especially among young black kids from the ages of 12 to 21, should I not speak on it? Because if STDs are on the rise, if homosexuality and bisexuality is on the rise, I don't care who people sleep with in the privacy of their own homes. I'm saying to you, if it's affecting the masses of the people.
The point is, when they're pushing for folks to have 200 sexual partners in a week, and that's no joke, ladies and gentlemen, these people are going to end up dying of HIV and hepatitis and all this. It is extremely destructive, the lifestyle of drugs and sex and all of this being pushed, and it's everywhere where they are pushing this on little kids everywhere, as is in the documents for population control, because once they've gotten rid of masculinity in men, the state is now the daddy, and he can kill mommy and the kids. Hitler said, first you get the women, then you've got the children, so follow the men. They've got to get rid of men, basically. That's why they feed us estrogen in the food and the plastics. It hyperfeminizes women, so they're the big, you know, boss, you know, the house slaves, what I call it. White women, black women, it doesn't matter. The Romans figured it out with their white German slaves. You put the women in a house, the men as slaves outside. The women will oppress the men. And then you hyperfeminize the women with the estrogens, and it turns the men into the little or little W women. Go ahead.
I just got a text on my other line. Someone apparently is listening. I just got a text and they said, just be a little bit more transparent. You have to go ahead. So I'm taking that this is someone who's listening that's handling this case. So listen, let me be a little bit more transparent. These two people that I'm speaking of, in particular, Quincy Jones and Will Smith. When the information came to me, it came to me in confidence, and I gave my word to that individual that I will not reveal my thoughts. But when I put it out, I didn't want Quincy Jones Will Smith to think I was actually attacking them. What you just said was beautiful, because I've seen the feminization process going on in hip-hop along with that went through a phase. It went through the first phase was you had to be there to understand hip-hop. Wasn't too many people out in the dark in the park with us. Do you understand what I'm saying? When hip-hop was giving birth to. That second phase of hip-hop was the golden era, the conscious era, which gave birth to a poor righteous teaching, wise, intelligent, brand Nubian, Public Enemy, Big Daddy, King, KRS-One, some of the other groups that were very positive at that particular time. Shortly after that, gangster rap kicked in and it neutralized conscious hip-hop. When it neutralized conscious hip-hop, when the Chronic album that Dr. Dre put out, conscious hip-hop was dead at that point. This is when we started to see the feminization process and thugging and balling and pimping and all these negative things entered into hip-hop, and we've seen hip-hop on the decline. Now we don't even have hip-hop, we just have rap. And I think your listeners need to understand the difference between the two. Hip-hop is the umbrella. Rap is one of the elements that sit under hip-hop. And we need to understand that.
Well, breaking this down, when you said your phone got tapped into, we just heard the audio change. Someone is listening in. The quality is not as good. Are you saying someone broke into your phone, or what's going on?
No, well, I just got a message. I don't know who the message came from. And the message just came through the phone that I need to be a little bit more transparent.
Well, that's crazy that I actually heard audio change on the phone when you said that somebody broke in on the phone. Expanding on this, how have you seen...
Alex, can I just make just two quick statements? Number one, I don't want the people out there that have that homosexual lifestyle to think that we're attacking them. That's not our job. We don't do that. And that's definitely not what I do. I don't do lectures and beat up on homosexuals and anyone else. This is the information that you stated that's already...
Sure, the point is that when I pointed out that all over the Western world, the fish are becoming bisexual and so are the frogs,
right.
We are biologically being manipulated, and I don't get up here and bash people on race or sex or any of that.
Right.
The point is, in women, it's accelerating breast cancer on record. That's a fact, the bisphenol A. They call me a homophobe for saying, hey, little kids' juice boxes are changing their sexual persuasion, but also giving them cancer. That's in major studies. And they're scared to death when I bring that up. They don't ever ask, why are women dying of breast cancer at record numbers? It's always, let's find a cure. Why not? Let's find out why this is happening.
Exactly, and that's precisely my point. So when I mentioned two of music's icons and entertainment icons, Will Smith and Quincy Jones, in my lecture, all of a sudden now I'm a hater. All of a sudden now I'm all these other kind of evil, nasty names. And then I get phone calls from their assistant saying that they want to see me. Well, I'm available. You have my number. I put my number out on YouTube. Millions of people have my number. Anyone can call me. But I got the phone. I received a phone call from their assistant. I said, well, let's get up face to face. I never got a phone call back. So this is not anything personal against Quincy Jones. This is not anything personal against Will Smith. I laid out the agenda that I put in my book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop. It is a war going on. It's on a covert level, and they're using the music to get to the people.
Well, look, I don't want them teaching six-year-olds in school any type of sex, period. I mean, that is absolutely out of control, and that's going on worldwide. You've heard about where they teach in U.S. schools. I can pull up, guys, type in six-year-olds taught to masturbate in public schools. I mean, period. That is pedophilia, and so you're talking about it. I don't know about the beef going on. I hadn't read your book yet. I do want to read it. We've been showing it on screen, so I'm not aware of the things you're raising. But specifically, I am aware of moves that I was told by executives to make it gangster, to make it violent, to make it anti-woman, to make it thuggish, to make it look like a big joke as a cultural poison, things that KRS-One has talked about also in the Obama deception. What is your take on that, Professor Griff, one of the founders of Public Enemy?
Well, you see, that is very, very key, simply because I've read the same document that's been put out there, and it's true because some of the same record execs and some of the people that are tied into the multinational corporation apparatus, Vivendi and other companies, are the same people that own and invest in and have stock in private prisons. So they have to fill the prison cells. They have to fill the prison beds.
Stay there. We got to go to break. Professor Griff, hard break. We're going to come right back to Professor Griff. Stay with us.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro filtered sports bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever popular grab and go bag favorite, the Life Straw, the Crystal Quest shower filter system, and the Aquapod kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. The second 2 hours carried by XM. They need to carry all three. Give them a call, subscribers out there. On XM166, over 150 AM and FM affiliates, and of course the internet at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Go to InfoWars.com, go to the listen page. You can find links to the free iPhone app, the free Android app, the podcast. I think I'm going to put that all on one page, though. It's kind of spread out there, but it's all up at InfoWars.com. We have the nightly news 7 o'clock every night. And again, we get censored by YouTube a lot. The censorship's getting worse. That's why for 10 years I've had PrisonPlanet.tv, even before YouTube. So you have all my films, the nightly news, the books, the video, the daytime radio show, 11 memberships, $5.95. That's less than 55 cents per person. per master membership. You get one membership, you get 10 extras. That's 11 people simultaneously that can log in with the same username passcode. Everybody should go sign up right now at PrisonPlanet.tv to fight the takeover of the Prison Planet. We are funded by you. We are grassroots. We are funded by our little sponsors. And the system absolutely hates it. I don't digress right now. But talk about persecution, the stuff that Professor Griff's gone through, the things that I've seen behind the scenes. But for me, it only makes you stronger because fighting is, and fighting for truth is what really empowers you. And so I just appreciate people that have courage. And the system can misconstrue and twist what I say. They can do that with Professor Griff. And none of us agree with each other 100% because I don't agree with myself every day with some things I hear myself say because I wish I would have said it better. There's so much knowledge in the world. We learn more every day. A wise man knows how little he does know. But I do hope you'll support us and go to InfoWarsStore.com, buy the books, the T-shirts, the videos, all of it right there online at InfoWarsStore.com. That's InfoWarsStore.com. Also get the InfoWars magazine, the March issue, on how they want to start a civil war and race wars and everything else. It's very important how we expose the divide-and-conquer situation in the new magazine. We sell them in bulk at cost or sign up and get a subscription at InfoWarsStore.com. It's giant. There's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of products there. All the great new Mike Adams products we're carrying that are the cleanest source minerals and vitamins you can find. Believe me, he's got his factory outside Austin. It's amazing, all organic certified, InfoWarsStore.com. And also be sure to go over to Professor Griff's website, pgriff.info, and check out his books and his new book that's coming out. We're going to be talking about that as well. But you got cut off by the break, and that was intriguing. So really, I mean, lay it out for us here. I mean, it's your show for the next 10 minutes or so before I get into some other topics and maybe jam in a few calls. Professor Griff, founder of Public Enemy, hip-hop rap icon, expanding on this, Professor Griff, you were getting cut off in the break talking about the agenda of the takeover of hip-hop and rap, what the system wants, because they're invested in the prison complex. We have the biggest prison population. They're now having, folks can look this up, prison guards from the big companies as guards at public schools, literally inducting the kids into prison, the new slavery. Everything is geared to get you into prison. That way they take your rights away for petty crimes. So break it down, Professor Griffin, and lay out what you were saying during the break to me about the takeover of hip-hop, because this is inside knowledge people need to know, because control of music is the control of culture. Go ahead.
All right, these are the conversations that I often have with Chuck D when I run into Mortal Technique and Wise Intelligent, Paul Righteous Teachers and other brothers that are here and that are doing hip-hop, that's involved in it, that speak truth to power, and our eyes are open. We had a discussion in reference to the anonymous letter that was put out on the Internet. The anonymous letter is too long to read, but in jest or in essence, it said that these executives had owned and had stock in private prisons, and these are the same record execs that green light certain projects. Up-and-coming artists that you may see, they control their entire careers based on these new contracts that's been in place for the last, I'd say, 10 years, which is these contracts and these deals called the 360 deal. And what the 360 deal is the fact that if you take a circle, make your circle and cut it up into eight pieces of a pie, put your CD or your album in the middle of that pie. All of the other pieces of the pie are ancillary properties based on the music that you put out. So pieces of the pie would consist of merchandise deal, live shows, endorsements, yada, 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 until you fill up the eight pieces of the pie. That is your whole entire life. That is a 360 deal. So regardless of however you have make income, money coming in, they get a piece of that. Thus, they control your entire life. Listen, they have you for a lifetime because they are the ones responsible for renewing your contract. And then they have not only international rights and domestic rights, now they have a new thing in the contract that says universal and global rights, dealing with the universe. So I read an article on how Will.i.am is going to record something and send a song down from Mars. It's kind of madness, dealing with holograms. And these people know what they're doing. They're putting the apparatus in place, and they're maneuvering the artists to buy into these 360 deals.
Look at the Super Bowl. It's openly Illuminati with Madonna and then the other lady this year. I mean, it's openly Illuminati with Janet Jackson, with all of it, now with Lady Gaga, with other women wearing, you know, people's teeth around their neck, talking about killing kids, 666. What is the point behind all this?
I think to galvanize the energy radiating from us as human beings, to get everyone on the same page. Listen, Zbigniew Brzezinski made a statement. He says, in earlier days, we could control a million people as opposed to killing a million people. But I think then he said, then in latter day, today, we're talking about, I think he said that we will, it's easier to kill a million people as it is to control them.
Well, that's what he said. He said, exactly, I mean, the actual quote, guys, pull up, but it's something like, 20 years ago, it was cheaper to control and buy off a million people. Now it's cheaper to kill them.
Right. See, they felt that they could just control one individual like Jay-Z. And if Jay-Z has a million, 2 million fans, then we could control those 2 to 3 million people. Pretty much so, but you have to keep that one individual in check. But since the advent of the internet and this information out there, people are becoming awake and aware to the schemes and the games. And they even said themselves recently that there's only 6% of the population that believe that the news media is true. This madness that comes from the media, this multi-ethnic destruction in America. Because we know there's only a handful of people that control the media. Everything you touch, taste, smell, and see on TV, the big screen and the small screen, is being controlled.
Absolutely. And look at the message now. Gun owners are racist. The militia guys are going to start a race war, and there's no real proof or truth there. Believe me, I know I'm in it, and it's everybody in it of all races, colors, and creeds wants freedom and knows the system. The man wants our guns, but they're running a script just like they did before Oklahoma City, and they're getting ready to stage false flag attacks in this country. What's your take on that, Professor Griff?
I think it's very, very, very true, and it's not anything that we have to run around and wear on our sleeves and convince people that this is true, because it's happened in history before. Only thing we have to do is study history. And we talked about on the break about the Hegelian dialectic principle. They control both sides. They can exacerbate the tensions from extreme to extreme different camps and make it appear with a video or as they did in Wag the Dog and some of these other movies. What was the movie that they just got an award for the last week?
Yeah, Zero Dark, Easter Bunny, and Argo, all of it. I mean, Argo's more true than Zero Dark, Easter Bunny, as I call it, but it's all a bunch of fiction, made-up
right.
Garbage.
Exactly. So they can control both sides, and then they can put it in you, throw it in your subconscious mind, and trigger it when they want to trigger it. And they can trigger it with entertainment, trigger it with food, trigger it with the music, with the vibrations in the music. It'll make you think that there's a race war going on and it's nice, bright, and sunny outside. And this is sad, simply because we thought that once upon a time that we were making progress as far as the human family is concerned, coming together. Then they made it to be that we needed a Barack Obama. But the whole idea of the Barack Obama was, like you said, was just a broad sweep of deception. They used Barack Obama to get back into Africa, to sign off on AFRICOM, so multinational corporations can go back to Africa to recolonize Africa, to get the precious minerals that they need to continue to make iPhones and iPads.
You're right, and it was my own research, Webster Tarpley's, countless others, that we said they're going to take out Libya, they're going to take out Syria, AFRICOM's going to invade at least 10 countries. They made up that whole Kony thing who's been dead for 6 years to say that they can invade any country in Africa, and now they are. And it even came out in several African countries last month that the presidents came out and said they're running Al-Qaeda to attack their own refineries as a pretext to invade. It's totally fake. Mohammad Karzai came out and said the U.S. runs Taliban, Al-Qaeda 2 days ago. More and more, though, the facade is falling. And when you say they're behind, they say they're behind in their own internal stuff that leaks. You're absolutely right. So how do you see this, Professor Griff, unfolding? These people aren't God. Sure, they have power as long as they're invisible and we don't know they're there. But when we throw sand on them, we can then, you know, see their outline. More and more, they're operating like they're invisible, but they're not. Their old lies aren't working anymore. Where do you in your gut, because I've heard you on other shows really roll with it, you know, and you know what you're talking about, Where do you see this going in your 25 years of fighting the Illuminati? How do you see it all shaken out?
I think my gut is telling me that the masses of the people are becoming awake and aware. We just need to get over some of the hurdles. We have to begin to start trusting one another and trusting the information that we share with one another. I can't begin to say to the people, I mean, just from my gut and the work I've done with Chuck Flavor and the rest of the guys in the group, that we've been reaching out and reaching millions of people in the face of adversity. We must begin to act like it's impossible to fail. And the information, how many times do Alex Jones, Professor Griffin, other people have to say the same thing for the people to understand that this is what's going on in the world and these are the games and the tricks that they're playing? We must begin to educate that those next InfoWarriors coming behind us. Do you understand what I'm saying?
How beautiful would it be if everybody just got that all the fake hip-hop and establishment music that they sell us is meant to hurt us? The message is obviously destructive. Couldn't people just flip and get it and understand it? People say, hey, we want easy solutions. Well, politicians are going to tell you that, but it is an easy solution. It's wake up, start resisting in little ways. It will grow into big things. What always frustrates me, Professor Griff, and I want to get your take on this, is that every time I stand up, 9 times out of 10, the system freaks out and runs in fear because they're not used to anybody standing up to them. But more people aren't standing up. It's that the individual who's doing things for the right reason has incredible power, and we're like 100-foot-tall monsters to these New World Order people. They are scared of us.
Yes, they are. But I've often said if there was 1,000 Professor Griffiths, then we can kind of turn the tide. we could change some things.
Sure.
Everywhere I go, I meet someone that's like-minded like myself. But it's just that one person that may be in Vegas, or the two or three people in a study group in Wisconsin somewhere. So it's not enough of us. But I think what they're doing, they understand our strategy, and our strategy is taking advantage of technology and reaching as many people as we can. You know how many times my cell phone app has been shut down, corrupted, false messages sent out in the middle of the night. By the time the people wake up and they say, Griff, I didn't know you was in the porn. I said, well, I didn't send that message. They said, well, it came from...
Oh, I know. They do all sorts of dirty tricks and edit things. Well, now we've confirmed, and we've had it happen to everybody in our office. You send out a pro-gun message, they ban you or suspend you on Facebook, Twitter starting it. And they're doing it to little guys, though, not big guys so much. There's an under-the-radar, but then they also do the false flags on big guys like yourself. When they go after a big guy, they do something like a misrepresentation. And people don't know. You don't know how real the New World Order is. That's one reason I say get involved. Get involved and run up against it. Then you'll know for yourself how real it is.
Yeah, exactly. I released the book Analytics, where I put the Obama deception in my book. I released the Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop, which was the next book, and my new book, The Acapella Revolution, I released a few weeks ago. And they're stepping up their attacks, but now on different levels. Websites have been corrupted. Like I said, the cell phone app, people are being they're harder to reach. I thought the technology was designed for us to reach more people at a faster pace. Well, it seems like mine's just slowing down for some strange reason. I think that's deliberate.
Here's an example. They've taken speeches I've done, and I warned of this a decade ago because I knew the technology was already there. They'll take speeches that are mine, my show, no music, no nothing, and claim copyright on particularly powerful things. And it'll be like MTV, and it's me talking, no music, no nothing. It'll be weird Canadian companies. And I've got to threaten to sue them and have lawyers actually send them tort letters to stop. And it's always key stuff about real unity. They know what breaks through, and they go completely ape.
Right. This is why I wrote the Acapella Revolution, because acapella, the revolution is complete, constructive, conscious, cosmic change. We're going to bring about a change, but it starts with the individual spirit and the individual's mind. So the whole idea of acapella, just speaking, is without the music. Let's just have the conversation and start the dialogue. And I think this is my attempt to put this information out there to slow these people and their agenda down, this New World Order Illuminati agenda, just slow it down to a grinding halt. Because if we had the dialogue, at least we're coming together to at least have the dialogue. Their part of their agenda is that you and I don't talk.
Have you seen how Google admits this now? They look at what your profile is and only keep you in your little group now?
Yeah, I noticed that, and not to say anything against Flavor Flav, beautiful, beautiful spirited guy, but when you Google Public Enemy, Flavor Flav comes up, and they look at Public Enemy through the eyes of VH1, and we know who VH1 is connected to. We know that agenda. VH1 is supposed to be video gets one, but they never play videos, so we know what their agenda is.
Well, it's the ruin
and Buffoon Entertainment Television, BET.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, you watch any TV, I don't care what it is, it's to destroy families and hurt little kids and screw people up. Because they know if somebody's got their head screwed on, they're going to find the truth. They're going to stand for the truth. We're going to have a good civilization and a future. But if they can screw everybody up, I want to talk about their super endgame, why they want to get rid of most of the population so they can have the life extension technology with Professor Griffin. I do have that clip of Clinton under clear mind control. When we come back, stay with us. Professor Griff's our guest.
One of the best ways to promote the Liberty message is not only by listening to Alex's show, but also by wearing shirts that promote the message. As you can see right here on InfoWarsShop.com, we have this shirt right here. It says Tyrant, and it also has a message in the back. It says, come and take it. Here's another great T-shirt. Come and take it. We obviously know that the Second Amendment is under attack, and this is a great, subtle way to let the public know how you feel. We also have some great lady shirts. You can see them right now. This one says InfoWars.com. There's a lot of female fans of the show. And we also have a female shirt that promotes the Second Amendment. Contrary to what some people might think, there are many females that love themselves some guns. And this is another great shirt that you can get. It's a camouflage shirt with InfoWars.com written across. And now you have a choice. Do you want to end the TSA or end the Fed? We also have this great Army-style T-shirt, and this shirt, as well as many others, are available at InfoWarsStore.com. And last but not least, may the truth be with you. Obviously a reference to the Star Wars film. All these shirts are available at InfoWarsStore.com.
Okay, here is a clip from a British documentary, the compilation of politicians, movie stars, people going into trances. And I've actually been around a lot of media people. And let me tell you, I don't know, notice the Mickey Mouse kids, all those women that end up being the big stars who were in Disney. And, I mean, let me tell you, there's something to this. I mean, now they want to drug the Aurora reported shooter with truth serum to make him admit he did the murders. So now they're going to drug you till you confess. When you're under mind control, those particular drugs put you back in it. But and again, I don't have time to get into it. It'll cut into Professor Griff. But that whole story, under DARPA control, getting DARPA money, multiple shooters, saying he was under mind control, putting him back on the drugs. All these guys has the same M.O. There have been cases. There was one guy in like 99 who killed a bunch of people at a church in Fort Worth. And neighbors said they saw them dragging him out and putting him in a white van 2 days before, and he'd been in Navy PSYOPs. And then I talked to his neighbors and people. I mean, it's insane. But side issue, here's that mind control video. First, it's just video of Clinton having makeup put on. Looks like a doll, totally in a trance. And the next is him acting like a three-year-old. Here it is.
In covertly recorded off-air transmissions from the Bush-Clinton presidential election campaign in the 1990s, we can see that Bill Clinton was nothing more than a puppet to the puppet masters, which placed him in the White House. Bill Clinton's demeanor seems to be similar to a person who is under a hypnotic trance.
Oh, definitely. This is great. I love it.
I don't do it anymore.
He's not on drugs there. He is under mind control. That is hypnotism. Unbelievable. Good God. That's enough of it. It just goes on and on. Professor Griff, I mean, the problem is that You're going to be leaving us not in this segment, but the next, and you said you'll come back in 2 weeks, which we're very honored to have you to just take phone calls. But once you're gone from here, I know you'll think, oh, I wish I would have said that. What else do you want to talk about today that's important?
I was just thinking that because I was saying to myself 2 seconds ago, I wonder if I should bring up the whole idea of the people that I have in my laptop that when you mentioned about putting him in office, I don't think people understand the whole dynamic of the city-states, and I don't think they understand the whole dynamic of grooming these men to be president. And then the people that are put in place to put these people in office. So in my lecture, I talk about the Black Pope, who's part of the Society of the Jesuit Order. I talk about Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Soros, and other people, and Rupert Murdoch, and we go on and on. Who is Joe Biden? And I talk about these things and how Barack Obama, Barry Davis, whatever you want to call him today, he's groomed to be the president, but he's not the president of the United States of America.
He acts like he's hypnotized at times. I mean, it's that same programming. I don't think the programming took too well on Bush.
No, it didn't. I think it backfired. And the whole doublespeak and the whole training him on how to use the English language but to speak to only a certain group of people. This is very real. Stephen Jacobson, in his book, Mind Control in America, he talked about these particular techniques in depth. And it's something that Stephen Jacobson laid out that needs to be studied. This whole idea of backward masking and doublespeak and these kind of techniques that they use in and out of the music industry. I think it's a very fascinating, interesting read.
And people could say it's all mumbo-jumbo, but we know the globalists are all into the occult. The point is they're getting the power. Just incredible. Professor Griff, final segment with him. We're back in 1 minute. I was just talking to the founder of Public Enemy, Professor Griff, the information officer. And, maybe we'll get him to Austin for an in-studio interview. Just amazing. He'll be back with us in 2 weeks again to take phone calls. Man, during the breaks, you're really laying it on me. You were bringing up some of these celebrities, and you're saying, look, I don't want to have a confrontation. I'm not trying to be mean. Nothing against them individually, to repeat what you said to me. And I don't even know about all this, so I'm not even involved in it, but I respect you and believe you. You said, listen, I had conversations with bam, 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 living people, and then you said, and Tupac, and they told me about what's going on. And I've seen other people talk about this stuff. What do you think happened with Tupac?
Personally speaking, my gut feeling is the fact that Tupac knew too much when he came back out of prison, and some people that I could probably mention, I probably won't get in too much trouble, but I invited Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife, laid out money. Suge Knight and a few other people laid out money. Tupac was free. Tupac went to California. Tupac was propositioned by Quincy Jones, dealing with the sexual rituals that go on in these secret societies. Shortly after that, Tupac dead.
Wow.
now you do the math.
Man, this is a little... Wow, I did not know this was going to happen today here on the air. Man. Wow.
So I'm asking questions. That's all I'm doing because I'm asking the questions and I'm putting it out there. All of a sudden they want to attack me and confront me. But I'm saying, okay, I'm going to bring my information. Here is the information. Now, the conversations I've had with certain individuals that don't want to be revealed, I can't tell you about that. But I can tell you what Tupac told me, that Quincy Jones propositioned him.
Sure. Specifically, I mean, all I know is every time I study any group, the French, the Chinese, the Russians, what's happening at the Vatican, everywhere, it's all the occult, and it's what's going on, and that's what the Illuminati is into, is these sex cult rites, as you know, and that's what the phallus is in D.C., all of this. It's just so crazy.
Exactly. And so we shouldn't be foolish enough to think that it's not going on in an industry like hip-hop and like the music industry that controls people's lives.
But, I mean, look at Lady Gaga. Look at all of it. It's rituals on the television. I mean, they're doing it openly. And they think they're getting power from it. Well, is there any way that Tupac could have been wrong about what he was telling you?
There's a possible chance that he could have been wrong, but the events that happened after Tupac's death, especially with this anonymous letter and making the connection with private prisons to hip-hop and to rap music and the criminalization and the niggerization of rap music, I think he was right.
What about Dave Chappelle? He said stuff like this and then disappeared and then later said it was a joke and then said it wasn't. I mean, why did Dave Chappelle said similar stuff about mafias and things?
Exactly. Dave Chappelle went so far as to give back $50 million. Now, what black man you know going to give back anybody $50 million and go to Africa? What are you running from? So we need to understand he even said it when he was on Oprah.
No, I've been told stuff. I've been told stuff by some pretty big movie stars off record that just... It's totally insane. If people knew who ran things, and by the way, satanic rituals is the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. And so everyone from Bob Dylan down to Lil Wayne. So their confession, they can't keep it a secret too long. We know the cat is out of the bag.
Wait, even Bob Dylan, I mean, he speaks out against the New World Order and Sundown on America. How did he know that back in the 80s, their whole New World Order plan? It's in the songs. Wow. I was always wondering.
The songs, right. Something was going on then that we didn't know about. He put it in the songs, some of the songs.
I know some folks that know Bob Dylan, and they say he knows about the New World Order. I'm not going to. And I tell you, Professor Griff, let me say bye to you during the break. I'm going to have Weldon, our book guy, call you to carry your books in the InfoWars store. Professor Griff, pgriff.info. Let me say bye to you here. Amazing interview. Wow. We'll be talking about this for days.
Visit InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you're on the site, you can also tune in 24 hours a day to my daily radio broadcast. There's also a free iPhone app to listen to the syndicated radio show when and where you want.